That. Ooh, huge power. Filled with the Spirit. Want to be filled with the Spirit. God has given us, Peter tells us, God has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him. And what a wonderful, you read that verse, power. How many of you find power of God in your life? Or maybe you wonder, where is the power? I've been praying, I've been doing this, and it doesn't seem to have power. It seems to fall short. Well, that's something we need to think about as we look into fellowship. What is fellowship? Anybody have an idea they want to share with us right now what it is? What kind of word is it? Unity. Yes, there's definitely unity in fellowship. Something else goes with unity. Unifying what? Like-minded people. There you go. We're getting closer. It's a relationship word. And the Bible is full of relationship words. If God is, Jesus asks what the greatest commandment is, and he tells the people is to love God with all your heart, soul, and might. And the second one, they ask him for one, he's giving them two. The second one is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. Love, what kind of word is love? It's a relationship word. What kind is trust? Relationship word. Faith is what? Relationship word. Accountability, what kind of word is that? It's a relationship word. The Bible is full of relationship words. Because what? It is not good for man to be what? Alone. So God creates woman. Primarily, she's a helpmeet, but it's for fellowship. What is fellowship? It's a relationship word. It's designed by God to build relationships, not tear them down. The word actually means, in the New Testament, koinonia, is the idea of coming together, assembling together to share. Now, it can be used in a secular sense, coming together to share something. But Bible terms, it's used to come together to share what? What are we supposed to be sharing? And for what purpose do we share? We just did it. People read verses. What were you doing? You were sharing verses that meant something to you. Did you learn anything from those verses? Do you write any of them down? Do you think, hey, I had to look at that, or I agree with that? The idea of fellowship is to assemble together of like-mindedness in unity for the purpose of building each other up. God has, like I said, God has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him. Do you have that? Is that only given to pastors and deacons, special spiritual people? That's given to everybody. What else has God given to everybody? Because, you know, through the knowledge of those truths, we become partakers of a divine nature. I read that 2 Peter, first chapter, and I'm going, what is this? This is pretty powerful stuff. And how do I develop my relationship to God? Is through fellowship. How do we help? Do you ever think of helping each other develop our relationship with God through our own development of a relationship with each other? Those two things, loving God with all your heart, soul, and might, and your neighbor as yourself. When we come together in true fellowship, it's a coming together in intimacy and in unity, centered around building each other up for spiritual growth in our relationship with God and each other. Now, in the Old Testament, you won't find the word fellowship because it's not described in that term. What it is when you see, well, go to Psalm 27. Give you an idea. This is a beautiful thing too when you think about fellowship. In fact, let's see. Yeah, I can't find it. Psalm 27. It's in this Bible someplace. I didn't tear it out. Psalm 27:14. Now I'm reading from a New American Standard. And that is what it says in the original. The secret of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he will make known to him his covenant. The secret of the Lord. This is how the word sowed is a Hebrew word, but it means to come together in intimacy. And it also can be translated fellowship, but it's coming together in intimacy. That word secret is used because it's intimate. Now, what happens when we have fellowship with God? Are we having intimate fellowship with God? Intimate in the way that, what's an unbeliever think of it? They don't understand the spiritual things. They don't even know why we're doing it. But that very same fellowship that we have, can God be attractive to unbelievers when they see that you have something they don't and it's of value? But the idea of coming together with a God who loves us, who has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him. As we grow in our knowledge of each other, do we become closer, or should we become closer? We'll know our weaknesses, we'll know our strengths and all those different things. But as we come closer to God in fellowship, what are we doing? He has no weaknesses. He has no things that are wrong. He doesn't have any sin. We find out how great he is, and he builds our faith as we grow in the true knowledge of God. We begin to understand what it means to be partakers or sharing or fellowshipping with a divine nature that comes from God. And that takes effort. In Hebrews, it tells us not to forsake ourselves fellowship with one another, as is habit of some. Don't look at church or Bible studies or studies in your home or getting together with fellow believers as just a thing to do. Because when we recognize how God designed it, we have a privilege of growing in Christ through private, fellowshipping with each other. Because we can do it with God, we can do it with each other. Remember, loving God with all our heart and soul and mind, and our neighbor as ourselves, as we come together. We talk about accountability, we talk about application and that kind of thing. You hear a message, or you read something, or you come together. I read this, and I'm trying to figure out how God wants it to fit in my life. Here comes brother or sister in Christ coming together. Let's pray together about this. Let's be filled with the Spirit about this. Let's have intimate fellowship around spiritual concepts that God has given us through his word. And I want to know how it fits in my life. We're not tape recorders. You have to work at application in our life. You hear the word. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Do you hear the word of God preached? Do you hear the word of God, somebody speaking on the radio? How about, do you hear the word of God when you're in this family devotions? When you're having intimate devotions with your own family or with friends who love the Lord? You're into the intimacy, you're close. Do you hear the word of God? Because in that group, God has designed it. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And what we share with each other is vitally important. I'm really pleased people share their verses because we're working on this. Because if we're silent about what God is doing in our life, how do we encourage the believers around us? What's God doing? I don't know. I've never heard him do anything. He's kind of silent in my life right now, but I don't hear him doing anything in anybody's life because we're all so tight-lipped about it. We need to understand that if God is moving in our life, we need to share it with somebody else. That's fellowship. It's so vitally important for us to hear that God is working in the lives of my brothers and sisters in Christ. Because he is. And we can be lulled asleep and think God's not doing anything in my life. Why? Because you're not hearing it necessarily from another brother or sister in Christ who has God doing great things in their lives. And God does. What's God's plan for us? It says, sanctify them in truth, thy word is truth. But in that sanctification process, which direction are we moving? This is all a relationship term. We are being conformed to what? The image of Jesus Christ. Do we even know what the image of Jesus Christ is? And do we long to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ? But God, through the Word, God, through the Spirit, and God, through fellowship, is using all three of those things to conform us to the image of God and to help us so we can help each other along the way. Have you ever been frustrated? What is God doing in my life? I'm trying to figure it out. I'm going through trials. It seems like I'm failing in my faith through these trials. And it just doesn't seem to be coming together for me. I need somebody to come alongside of me and encourage me in the truth. You've read the truth. God's working. He's working in His timing, not yours. And that may be just what might be. Because you know what's used a lot in the Scripture when it comes to God working on us? The word what? Psalm 40, verse 1. Psalm 25, verses 4 through 6. There's a key word. Wait. We don't want to wait for anything. We're going into McDonald's. We want that soggy hamburger and those limp French fries now. We don't want to wait for anything. Oh, I ordered that from Amazon. Man, yesterday, and it's not here yet. We don't like to wait. God says, slow down and wait on me. And so as we come together in fellowship, we can encourage each other on that intimate spiritual level. Look, God's working. We don't necessarily understand it, but I'm going to walk through this path with you. We're going through it together. And you'll be amazed. We need encouragement. Does anybody here not need encouragement? You're kind of up here all the time. You're one of those people that's got a plastic smile on your face. We need to understand that all of us are in need. We all have need. Fellowship, coming together with a common cause. You know, one of the other things that Jesus prayed for that connects with fellowship that's so vitally important, I pray that they be one, Father, as you and I are one. You and me and I and you and I in them. What in the world does that mean? You know the power of Jesus praying to his Father that we be one with him and the Father? Have the same exact unity as they have? That comes through fellowship. How do you learn how to be unified? It comes through a fellowship. As human beings come in fellowship in that deep, intimate time with each other, around Jesus Christ, we kind of learn things about each other. We learn that we're not very patient. You know, we always use that one. Everything. Well, we're going to pray for patience. We all need patience. We all have that point in our life we fail when waiting on God. Yet we can come alongside each other in true fellowship, not talking about politics, not talking about hunting and fishing and all those kinds of things. There's nothing wrong with those. But the point is, do we get as intense when we're talking about those subjects as we do about talking about God and what He's done in my life or what scriptures God has taught us? It's a real challenge for us because we'll just slip into talking about whatever. But when it comes to God, sometimes we have to work on it a little bit. But we need to know that He's given us everything pertaining to life and godliness through His true knowledge of Him. And through His wonderful and magnificent promises, He has made us partakers of a divine nature. That verse should humble us a lot. But how do we attain that? What do we do with that information? We fellowship together and we share it. One of the things in fellowship, it's always about sharing. The reason, let's read... First John chapter 1. I want you to notice something here. In Acts 2, you notice that the apostles teaching, they were sharing what they had learned from Jesus Christ and what was happening. They were proclaiming it to the people and the people were fellowshipping. We have to have a subject to fellowship around. Notice what John says from the beginning, verse 1. From the beginning we have heard, and what we have seen with our eyes, and what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. That covers it all. They have had Christ manifested to them in a very clear and real way. He was a human being that they could go up, they could hug, they could touch, they could listen to, they saw him. That's fellowship they had with Jesus Christ in the human form. And now what are they doing with all that? Verse 2, and the life was manifested, and we have seen and testified and proclaimed to you eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. See, they keep using that, things we've seen, things we've heard, and we've done what with them? We've proclaimed them. We've testified to them. To who? To other people. Why'd they do that? Because it's what people needed. They need to hear about Jesus Christ. And you think of Peter, well, yeah, I denied Christ. I denied knowing him 3 times. They're a wonderful testimony. But did he? Yeah, he did. And are there people, Christians today, who will deny Christ just like Peter denied Christ? Yeah, there are. And what it's kind of interesting, when Jesus confronted Peter about that, he did not say to him, hey, why did you deny me, Peter? What's the matter with you? He didn't say that. What did he do? What did he say to Peter? Do you love me? What kind of word is that? It's called relationship word. I'm concerned about our relationship with you, Peter. Do you love me? And then what did Christ do? He gave him a responsibility. He gave him something to do. And that, tend my sheep. How is he going to tend the sheep of Christ? What is he? How is he supposed to do that? Is he supposed to use the teaching of Jesus Christ, maybe? Or the Word of God, maybe? Yeah, that's what he's supposed to do. So in failure, Christ challenges Peter. And Peter's testimony is, Christ loves me. He loves me so much that he didn't throw me away when I denied knowing him 3 times. He just asked the question, he loved me. He's concerned about his relationship with Jesus Christ. And then he gave him something to do, which meant he had to share what Christ had taught him. You don't tend the sheep or feed the lambs with other stuff, with worldly garbage. You feed it with the Word of God. Remember what Jesus said about the will of the Father? The will of the Father is my food. Do we feed each other the food of God, the will of God? Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Christ demonstrated that in the temptation. I use this example enough so much, but to me, I got to get the whole grip of it, and it's a lifelong process of understanding that. Jesus is fasting for how many days? 40. Was he in the flesh hungry? The answer is yes. But he was fasting in intimate fellowship with the Father for 40 days. Satan comes to tempt him. Is Christ ready for the temptation? Yes. He was prepared for the temptation because he spent time, 40 days, fellowshipping with the Father. So here comes Satan. And Satan says, you're hungry. And you have the power, turn stones into bread. Jesus could have done that. But what mode? What's the heart preparation of Jesus Christ at that time? I've been just spending 40 days without eating with my Father, and my Father sustained me. And so when it came to Satan's temptation, he says, hey, Satan, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And I've said this, and this is the key. He wasn't just quoting that verse. He was living that verse. And how'd that start? It began with fellowshipping with the Father for 40 days. Fellowship. Now, say us as believers. We come together, and we focus on building each other up, preparing each other for what? The temptations, the trials of the world. So that we can stand like Christ stand in the power of the Holy Spirit through the fellowship that we have with each other with God. Fellowship is incredibly important. You can see why the writer of Hebrews says, stop forsaking yourself, fellowship with each other. It's vital because when we come together, what else does that Hebrews passage say? That we can stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Isn't that what we need? Is that what we need? If we're coming together and fellowshipping, we're not encouraging each other in our faith as we fellowship together, what are we doing? You know, it's nice to get together with people, but if we're not moved spiritually to prepare each other like the Father prepared the Son for temptation, the Father can prepare us through study of fellowship of the Word of God. Because that's what we have. Remember, He's given us everything pertaining to godliness and life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him. He's given it to us. Now, what are we doing with it? We need to be motivated to talk to fellow believers about this stuff. What have you seen and what have you heard about God through the Scriptures, through all these speakers we can, Dr. Jeremiah or whatever, through Donnie. Donnie did a wonderful job this morning. Have you processed that? Have you talked about that message with a friend and really tried to dig into it and allow the Spirit of God to teach us and mold us and shape us into the image of Jesus Christ through what happened in chapter 7 of Genesis? It's the Word of God, and it's powerful. And it can do that for us. When we don't avail ourselves, I know about the flood. You better not just pass that off. I know about the flood. Think of this, and I've used this example because it's true. Donnie works very hard at what he does. You know how I know that? Because I'm in the office bugging him all the time. But he does work he works very hard. We're praying for him. You guys are praying for him. And he stands in that pulpit on Sunday morning, and we pray he's filled with the Spirit. And as he brings forth that message, is that only for certain people? Well, you know, 50% of you get it, that's okay. No, that's for everybody here. Now, if you have a question about that, what he said, guess what you can do? You can talk to him. He'll talk to you. I talk to him all the time. He's not bad. He's not intimidating. Now, Lynn, she's intimidating. But Donnie's just he'll answer any question you have for him. But you can get together in a group. Oh, you know, and when we go out the door and say, hey, Donnie, that was a great sermon. Get together with a group and tell others what was great about it. And learn from each other. And grow. Text each other. Phone call each other. We got this means we can communicate. But that's the power of it. Avail ourselves when Sunday school gets back together. I love teaching Sunday school. Greg loves teaching Sunday school. Mike loves teaching. We all like teaching. But are we just talking about the Bible? Oh, yeah, that's kind of interesting. Yeah, that's kind of cool. I want every word of God is an important, living, active word. I want it to change my life. I want it to grow me. And God says, you know, there's got to be a little effort on our part to grow. Fellowship is a way to grow. Coming together and discussing those things. Because that's how we grow. Notice go to Philippians. How much time do I have? Oh, I'm doing good. Philippians chapter 2. I really like this. This stuff, you can get excited about this Word of God, and because it is living and active. You know, I remember when in English Lit. I wasn't too great of a reader when I was in school because I daydreamed while I read. What that meant is I'd read a sentence in the book or something, then my mind, I'd inject myself into some netherworld, like Great Expectations. Boy, could that your mind go wild in that, you know. We all had a little Silas Marner, all those things. Now today, even though I didn't think I learned anything in those, I love literature. I really, really do. But anyway, the Bible excites me more than Silas Marner. Anyway. Therefore, verse 2, verse 1. If there's any, what's that big word there? Encouragement in Christ. If there's any encouragement in Christ. Encouragement. We all need encouragement. If there be any consolation in love. We need to be consoled in love. If there's any what? Fellowship of the Spirit. If there's any affection and compassion. You know, those are things that we have. All those things are great. We all need those things. We all want to experience those things. But if we don't come together in fellowship, then and encourage each other in the word and in the truth, we're missing our ministry. All of us are called to this. It's not just pastors or deacons or Sunday school teachers. It's everybody is to be encouraging. And what make my joy complete, verse 2, by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, and intent on the on one purpose. You know, there we go with unity. Fellowships create a unity. Jesus prayed for unity, that we would be one as he and the Father is one. I am in the Father is in me, and I am in you. You can't get any more unified than that. That's unified. Have you experienced that kind of unity? Because that kind of unity is experienced for us in fellowship. And we want to, does everybody want to be accepted? And the answer is yes. Does everybody want to be loved? Yes. Now, there are people who are really damaged because of that. They've not found that. Our world is a very difficult place. And we know that there are lonely people out there. There's broken people out there. They don't trust humanity anymore. They all need it. It's like Jesus. He could have said to the lepers, be healed. You know what he did? He touched them. Why did he do that? There's several reasons why he did that. But could you imagine a human being who's never been hugged because they have leprosy? Nobody touches them. Nobody hugs them. Nobody holds them. Those people needed the human touch. So what did Jesus do? Reach out and touch them. Now, when he did that, what was the reaction of the people around him? Especially the Jewish people would have called him what? Unclean. Jesus did that on purpose for two reasons. One is the need of human touch, but also to teach them about him and who he is. Because he easily could have just said, be healed. He didn't. But lepers were a social outcast. People didn't want anything to do with them. Unclean, unclean, unclean. Here, Jesus, go up and touch one. Willing to come together. Philippians also talks about this type of fellowship. Chapter 3. Verse 8 says, more than that, I count all things to be lost in the view of the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ. How many of you in that have experienced that verse? That's a powerful. Do you know the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ? One of the ways we can know Christ better is how? By coming together and fellowshipping together and talking about Jesus Christ and what he's done in my life and what he's promised to do in my life. You know, we look at all this stuff in our world, and our world is a sinful place, and we know that going in. Why are we surprised when sinners sin? And it's on full display when we see our news and we see what our leadership is doing. It is corrupt. Why? Because they're sinners. It's going to be corrupt. That shouldn't throw us at all. But what has God said is going to happen to the United States? What's going to happen? What's coming on the horizon? The tribulation. We read it in the book. It's coming. There's going to be a time of woe on the earth. It's going to come. Why are we surprised if we're starting to see our culture erode away and be so mean and nasty and foster so much anger? It's going to come. Now, it may not come this year, next year. I'm not saying that. But it is going to come. So as things degenerate, it shouldn't surprise us because the Word of God tells us it's going to happen. And what else does the Word of God tell us as Christians? What's going to happen before it goes full-blown? There's something coming. The rapture. Gives us something to look forward to, doesn't it? Don't be surprised. Peter tells us, 2 Timothy, in the latter days, difficult times will come. Oh, Christ must be right. We are living in difficult times. But what else has he promised? And Donnie, your devotional. I'll never leave you or forsake you. We need that verse. And we need to remind each other that verse as we're living in a dangerous time. That Christ said was going to happen. You know, we always talk about, does God cause all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his name, or his purpose, which is to be conformed to the image of his son? Does God do that? We kind of, when difficult times come, we kind of look at that, whoa, what's this? What's this stuff? Count it all joy, brethren, when you encounter various trials. Why? Because the testing of your faith produces endurance. Do you want endurance? Now, how's fellowship help that? We come together intimately, spiritually, with God and with the Holy Spirit to encourage each other for those difficult times, to learn that verse. I want to learn that verse. Sometimes we think we learn verses on our own. God didn't design it for that. There's all these people around us that are there to help us learn those verses, to live those verses. But notice this. He says, verse 10, that I may know him, Christ, the power of his resurrection. Oh, that's powerful living right there. And the fellowship of his sufferings. Whoa. And being conformed to his death. Well, we like the power of the resurrection stuff, because that's the kind of, and he's talking about walking in the newness of life that we see in chapter 6 of Romans. The power of the resurrection, the life that Christ now lives, he lives to God. And that's what that's talking about. But the power or the fellowshipping of his sufferings. But what does he tell us? Those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. It's going to come. He's told us ahead of time. The question is, did Jesus know he was going to go to the cross? That's walking the valley of the shadow of death. That's walking from a human standard. An innocent human being who did nothing but good is whipped and beaten, mocked and scorned, and nailed to a cross. And then once men were done with him, the Father poured out his wrath on him. Whoa. Now, from a standpoint of human justice, that wasn't fair at all. But what did all that stuff do? All that difficult suffering of Jesus Christ do for us? Gave us eternal life, which is far, far greater. We need to understand the worth of walking the path of trial. Look at Jesus Christ walking the path of the darkness of death and the judgment of his own Father. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? How deep does that cut? We need to fellowship together, teach each other how deep that cut is. So I want to challenge you this evening, in the amount of time, about fellowship. Think about what it really is. It's coming together in like-mindedness for the benefit of the group, is the idea. When we come together, whether it's church, whether it's Sunday school, whether it's in Bible studies, whether it's your own personal devotions, where you need to expect it's done for your own personal benefit. Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I want to grow. I want to be more like Jesus Christ. I fear retirement because I don't want to get lazy in retirement. I don't think I will, but I fear it. Because I want to continue to grow in Christ. God has something for me to do, and I need to do it. And as we get older, we think we've run the race, we've run the course. Don't quit early. Because there's much more that can be done in our lives through the power of Jesus Christ. We have been given everything pertaining to life. We ain't dead yet. And godliness. And as long as we're alive, we need to be godly. Through the true knowledge of him. So how do we gain true knowledge? It's through fellowshipping with Christ and his word, fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, and fellowshipping with each other. Make our fellowship really powerful. Be concerned about one another, because it is a powerful thing. Look at it. I just want to challenge all of myself included as the power of God to change my life and the life of people around me. And fellowship is the way to do it. And you're going to see fellowship throughout the whole Bible. Remember, the Old Testament's all about getting together intimately. Just throw this in, the word loving kindness when you see it in the Old Testament. And the word is also translated mercies, but it's the loving kindness has said is a word, it's a relationship driven word, that you're in a relationship that you will do anything to make work, whether it's your relationship with God or your relationship with each other. It's a relationship love word. You know, it parallels to agape in the New Testament. But it's a word that shows mercy and kindness and grace and loyal love in the same way agape does. All right. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love and grace. We thank you for fellowship. You designed it. And Lord, we want to avail ourselves to it to the fullest measure, to be able to sit down with each other, encourage each other in the faith when we get together, or on a phone call, or in a letter, or a note, or just a word of kindness and encouragement, or a Bible study, whether here at the church in a Sunday school class, or listening to sermons from the pulpit, or being someplace where we're meeting and talking with people one-on-one. Fill us with your Spirit so that we can fellowship and share with the Spirit the power of God to work in the lives of people around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week and seek out fellowship. I really want you to pray about fellowship. You probably already are, but let's look for the fullest potential of our fellowship as we work through the week. God bless you all. Didn't mean to yell at you too bad.